Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So happy. Thank you for allowing us into your living rooms, your dining rooms, your diners, your places of employment, your cars, your workspace. We really appreciate that. Okay, thank you. Joe and I, don't mind us. We're just talking over here. That's all right. We've got a great, I'll tell you what, a great hour planned for you. Pastor David Langford from thevoiceofevangelism.com. He appears every week, every Wednesday at this time, and he does provide us with a balance of, you look at the news. You look at what's going on all across America. And of course, there's a biblical component to this. Of course there is. And, Pastor Langford is our scriptorian. I look at him as America's pastor, as our pastor here at the Hagman and Hagman Report. And why not America's pastor? Before you bring on Pastor David Langford, two things. I want to remind everyone, I'll be on Coast to Coast AM tonight, just briefly checking in during their news segment. You want to stay up that late on the East Coast? I'll be checking in there with them. Tom Danhauser, boy, he sounded horrible, sick, when I talked to him earlier today. That's one thing. And of course, if you're around, just join us. Also, Minuteman Rocket Stove. Folks, don't lay off the preps. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. There you will find just a wide array of fire starters, but they're Cadillac premier product. To me, it's a Cadillac of a rocket stove. You know, when things go south, you're going to need something to use to cook. Well, rocket stoves are the way to go. And not just any rocket stove. One from Minuteman Rocket Stove. That's MinutemanStove.com. This is, as far as I'm concerned, the best rocket stove on the market. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. And you know something, with decent wood, it's smokeless and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because they are so efficient, it cuts down on your wood-gathering chores, your processing, to a tenth of what it would be if you just cooked over an open flame. In the outside, because it's insulated, the outside at max reaches like 200 degrees, so you can carry it around and not worry about burning yourself. Look, it's easy. This rocket stove is easy to fuel, to feed with wood. It's easy to use. This is the answer. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Joe.
Pastor David Langford from The Voice of Evangelism is our guest each and every Wednesday here in Hour 3. And Pastor, we didn't have a chance to talk before the show, and we did not give a chance to explain to listeners what we were doing. We set up an email account for Pastor Langford for questions that people want to ask. And the last Wednesday of every month, people can email the questions throughout the week. And we ask that in the subject line, you use the words Hagman question, so he can pick out the questions from the other emails that he has. And we'll give that email out. I don't think we're going to use it tonight, but the question and answer part of this, Pastor, would you like to open the phone lines for the second half or second segment of tonight?
Sure, we can do that. I had one lady who did email us through our own email wanting me to address fasting. She knew we were going to have Q&A, and she said, will you address fasting this Wednesday night on the Hagman and Hagman show? So if we want to talk about that a little bit, the first segment, we can do that.
Absolutely. And folks, the email for Pastor Langford is PastorDavidLangford@HagmanAndHagman.com. That's PastorDavidLangford@HagmanAndHagman.com. And don't forget to put in there that question, Hagman question. That way,
in the subject line.
Yeah, or at least Hagman or question. That way, Pastor Langford knows which, you know, emails are the questions coming in from our listeners.
And it is L-A-N-K. It's L-A-N-K-F-O-R-D. Pastor David Langford, L-A-N-K-F-O-R-D, at HagmanAndHagman.com. Make sure it's spelled out correctly. And as you said, in the subject line, question or Hagman question, whatever it might be, and be as brief and concise with your question as possible so Pastor can answer it accordingly. But, Pastor, yeah, if you want to start off by talking about fasting or wherever you want to go, let's go.
Sure. As I said, this lady was questioning, and there are often a lot of people ask about fasting because fasting is part of being a Christian. I believe every Christian should periodically set a time aside for what I call consecration, dedicating yourself to the Lord. My wife and I, we set aside January. We have for the last 8 or 10 years set that time aside in January. It's cold. You can't get outside. You can't do much. Good time to get your spiritual discipline and kind of get it behind you for the rest of the year. And she asked me when I addressed that, and I'll just share a few scriptures about some of the men in the scriptures and ladies that fasted. We know that Moses, he's rehearsing in the book of Deuteronomy 9 and 9, when I was going up into the mount to receive the tablets of stone, even the tables of the covenant, which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And I believe, and most theologians believe, he did that back to back, because then when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 10, he gets the second set of Ten Commandments, and he says, and I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. So most theologians believe he went back to back, actually 80 days, neither ate nor drank. Now that's impossible in his humanity. His renal system would shut down without at least drinking water. So that's why when he came off the mountain, they put a veil over his face, because he was living off of the literal presence of God. And nobody in their human stature could do that. Even Christ in Matthew chapter 4 said he afterward hungered. It never says he afterward thirst. So we believe he drank water during his 40-day fast because he said he afterward hungered. It never mentioned that he had thirst. And then we see Elijah, 1 Kings 19 and 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So he ate his final meal, then he went 40 days and 40 nights without eating himself. Esther in Esther chapter 4, verse 16, she said to Mordecai, her uncle, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So we see in the Old Testament it was a part of their lives. Psalms 35:13. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my bosom. I've often said fasting puts legs on your prayers if you really want to touch the heart of God and move God. Paul himself in 2 Corinthians 11:27, he said, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. So Paul often fasted. So it's always been a part of the people of God. Then Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, he says he neither ate the king's meat nor drank his wine, and that's known as the Daniel fast. Most people believe he ate pulse, some kind of a vegetable, and he anointed himself. That's another thing we ought to do. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you fast, anoint your head that you do not appear unto fast. Now, while you're fasting, we don't acknowledge that. It's fine to acknowledge it after the fast, throughout the scriptures. We know how these men fasted because it's written in the Word of God, Daniel 10:3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. The 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, he said he didn't anoint himself, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us to anoint our heads with oil so that we do not appear unto men to fast. And the anointing of the forehead is merely an indication of consecration. I am wholly setting myself apart for the Lord for his service during this time of prayer, during this time of fasting. Also, with married couples, the scripture teaches that we abstain from sexual relationships during that time. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 7:5. Paul said, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent, for a time that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your loss of sexual control, your desires. And so you get consent from your spouse regarding your fast, because it is a time of consecration. You're wholly dedicating yourself to the Lord. And so Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 7 relative to a husband and his wife. So say the wife says she wants to fast 7 days. Well, Paul said you get consent for that time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. And then after that time is completed, he said you come together again so that Satan cannot tempt you for your incontinency. And that's not talking about a bladder problem. That's a carnal, sexual, fleshly desire. And so there are different types of fast. There's the complete fast. It's Esther. She neither ate nor drank. I've did that fast. That's the hardest fast I've ever done in my life. I've done the Daniel fast, the 21-day fast on water and fruits and vegetables. And that's really about as difficult as the fast there is, because you think, well, I can handle that. Well, after a few days on fruits and vegetables, there's just no substance. You know, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, there's something fulfilling that satisfies when we eat bread or meat. And, of course, Daniel said, I ate no flesh nor drank any wine. Meat, bread, is really gives one strength and sustenance after a fast. And, of course, we know that it gives us strength in our daily walk, because there's something sustaining and filling. It fills you up, whereas fruits and vegetables just won't do that. And then, like we spoke about Moses, you know, only by the help of God could any man, you know, go 40 days and 40 nights and then go right back to back again 40 more days and 40 nights and neither eat nor drink. He was living off the virtual presence of God. So fasting is for the purpose of crucifying our flesh and getting our flesh in subjection. One of the greatest problems with Christians is a lack of discipline. I hear it all the time. Well, I read my Bible and I pray. You never hear preachers admonishing people to fast. Why is fasting difficult? It's because Adam and Eve broke the commandment of God through eating. They disobeyed God in a tree that they were never to eat of, and they did. And so fasting brings the heart, the soul, the mind, and the body in absolute subjection to Christ. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Satan came against him. And by the way, every temptation was through his flesh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So all of those were working in his physical flesh. It had nothing to do with his spirit. Satan never appeals to your spirit. He always makes his appeal to your carnal nature, to your carnal man, because we are incarcerated in these earthen vessels, these clay jars, and he knows how difficult it is. You've got to remember, Satan is not flesh and blood. He is a spirit. He is a fallen angel. So he doesn't deal with that, but he sees the power and effect that it has on humanity, so that's why he comes to work against our flesh. Galatians 5:16-17, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's amazing how Jesus talked about the last days, Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were two distinctions there? Eating and drinking. Luke 21:34, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts become overcharged with surfeiting, that's overeating, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. So Satan knows how to work through our flesh, because that's how his appeal is made. And again, he never appeals to your spirit. And the exact opposite is with Christ. He never appeals to your flesh. He appeals to your spirit. And so the warfare is flesh and spirit. And we fast and we pray to get our bodies in subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means what I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway there in the Greek is reprobate. People say you can't lose your salvation. Well, Paul said, I want to keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means what I have preached to others, I myself become a reprobate. Well, that kind of makes it clear to me, Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Fasting makes one very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Not only does it make one sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but it makes one sensitive to demonic spirits, because you're crucifying your flesh, so your spiritual man becomes more keen. He becomes more sensitive, because the natural man is dying. When you quit eating, you're dying. You're starving yourself to death, so you begin to physically die. Your strength wanes, your attitude wanes, you don't get angry like you used to, you don't get as mad as you used to, because the strength is simply not there. But the strength of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the power of God, our spirit becomes exceedingly strong, and that's how we become more disciplined. And then in Matthew chapter 17, when the disciples could not cast the demon out of the man's son, they said, why could we not do this? He said, because of your unbelief. And then he went on to say in verse 21, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. So fasting destroys unbelief. Fasting builds our faith. Why? Because our natural man is waning and being destroyed, and so our faith begins to increase, that we begin to believe God for greater and bigger things. And all my life as a Christian, since 1978, I have fasted, and God has always rewarded and honored me personally when I have fasted in some way, whether it's a revelation, whether it's an answered prayer, whether he touches someone I've been praying for. It is a New Testament channel of power that the church does not tap into, because nobody wants to deny themselves of their fleshly wills and desires. But fasting is how we get that in subjection, get that under control. And so Jesus admonished the disciples, after I leave, then shall you fast. Because the Pharisees were critical. So why don't your disciples fast now? You know, the Pharisees were arrogant, boasting about their fasting. He said, they have no need to fast while the bridegroom is here, but once I'm gone, then they will need to fast. So that's why we fast. And again, there are all different types of fast. There's the Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables. Some do just a juice fast, you know, V8 juice, grape juice, apple juice. Be careful. If you do a juice fast, your stomach will stay tore up most of the time. because of the acidity in your stomach. So that's as far as I'll go with that subject on that. So you got to be careful. There's a total water fast that you just eat nothing. You just drink water. And again, you have to have the water for your renal system, your kidneys, to continue to remove the toxic poison. That's another thing that begins to happen. When you begin to fast, your body begins to spend fuel of toxic poisons that are in your body from all the GMO and all the stuff they put in foods. That's what your body now begins to use for fuel. So you get the thick saliva, you get the bad taste in your mouth, the aggressive foul odor in the mouth. Just like when jogging, when you jog, more blood is going through your lungs, and so you get the thick saliva because that blood, more blood's going through the lungs. You're breathing that through your respiratory system that comes out through the saliva glands, and you have this thick excretion, and all that is poison. You know, you watch athletes when they get very sweaty, you'll see them spitting, and that's poison. So when we're fasting, you need to be prepared. There will be types of withdrawal. Caffeine withdrawal, sugar withdrawal, then people start having headaches. And let me say this, and I know we're not far from the break, but if you start a fast and you don't complete it or fulfill the number of days, don't get down on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. You say, I'm going to fast 7 days. You went for it, and you went back to eating. Don't feel like you failed God. You didn't fail God. You may have failed yourself and not being able to complete what you set out to do, but you did not fail God, because fasting is totally something between a man and God does not penalize you because you said, well, I'm going to fast 7 days, and you didn't make it but three. There's no penalty. There's no punitive measures there. It's just a personal endeavor that you wasn't able to fulfill. And the more you fast, the more you acclimate to fasting. You know, as I said, I have fasted all my life as a Christian, and I only basically eat one good meal a day. That's all I need to sustain. That's how I keep my weight down. Anywhere between 2 and 5 o'clock, I eat a good, hearty, wholesome meal. And other than that, maybe some pineapple, apples, bananas, fruit. But I've gotten used to that. And, of course, I do drink my RC, Doug. That's my vice in life. But other than that, that's it.
And folks, it's kind of an inside joke, but not really. RC Cola, you know, is the that's the Ray Charles Cola of Pastor David Langford.
Hey, what's funny is when he goes places like conferences and whatnot, he travels with the cola.
That's right.
Absolutely. I ship them to places. If I can't carry them, I ship them out there. So when I get there, they're there.
But, you know, and everyone's got to have that. And seriously, what a great, or, you know, how dare you? My goodness, that's a luxury that you shouldn't have. But no, I mean, it's just great. It's a lot of fun, folks. Pastor David Langford is a lot of fun. Really, he is. And he teaches so well, provides us with information. But he's also a lot of fun. He's a great guy.
And what we're going to do, we have just a few minutes before the break. I want to make sure, we get this going now. Pastor Langford has been kind enough to agree to take listener questions on the last Wednesday of every month.
Yes.
Again, we're going to do it through, most of it through the email, pastordavidlangford@hagmanandhagman.com. Make sure in the subject line you put Hagman question or one of those two words so he can differentiate the emails. But tonight, and possibly in the future, we're going to take phone calls also. And the number is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. After the break, we'll take as many
here's your chance,
calls and questions for Pastor Langford as we can. So we're gonna make sure we do that. And
one more time with that number.
844-769-2944. And, Pastor, I gotta say, I had a conversation, some FaceTime with your son today. We were trying to set up the email account, and I don't know what problems we were having, but it was like this impossible task. But, long story short, we figured out how to forward it to your email account. That way we didn't have to have a separate email account.
Kind of
so I hope it doesn't, thing. Hope you don't get, you know, just pummeled with questions constantly. Or we can figure out how to refile it. So
yeah,
when you do receive it inside your inbox, it will go to a specific file, if possible. But that's the story behind that. I know we haven't had a chance to talk before the show.
Absolutely. So folks, go ahead and line up. We can take, and with your calls, just be as concise as you can. Be respectful of others' time as well as pastors' time. And again, Joe, let's give out the phone number one more time.
844-769-2944. Right. That's 844-769-2944.
All right.
And, we ask that the questions just, kind of be quick so we can get to as many as possible.
And you know what? We're about 15 seconds out of the break. A question came to me via email. I don't know whether this can be a yes or no question, Pastor, but, do all Christians and all Jews worship the same God?
Yes.
Okay. It's a yes or no answer.
Yeah. We're at the break. We'll share that maybe later.
All right. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report with Pastor David Langford. His website, thevoiceofevangelism.com. That's thevoiceofevangelism.com. Your call's coming up right here. Stay right where you're at. Give us 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free.
Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Pastor David Langford is our very special guest. His website, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Visit that website and, of course, take advantage of his books, the media that he's got there. I would urge everyone to do that. And I'm going to come out of the gate apologizing to Pastor Langford for that question. You know, just very briefly, it seems like a simple question at its face. When you look at the three major religions, you've got Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All right, we know that Christians do not worship the same God as Muslims. We understand that. And Joe reminded me, and he said, you know, you might have been kind of set up with that question. And,
yeah,
and I think
you have.
I think we were.
Because, especially in Israel, you have Messianic Jews and you have Talmudic Jews.
Yeah, and then you've got, in Christianity, some people think Mormons
are Christians.
You have Mormons
and you have, you have all these different.
So, sorry about that question, Pastor.
Yeah. Now, what it is, it's very simple. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They believe in Yahweh. They believe in Jehovah Elohim. And the problem with the Jews right now, they're blind. Romans 11:25, blindness and power has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But when we pray to God the Father, we're praying to the same God they're praying to, but we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. See? Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you, John 14:13. So we say, Father, in Jesus' name. They just pray to the Father. So when you say God, Elohim, yes. I remember walking out of the, down at the Western Wall, and I said to the Lord, I said, why do I feel such a kindredness with these people? And I feel like I could live in Israel and be very, very happy there, comfortable there. And I felt the Lord spoke tomorrow. He said, because you have the same Father. They just have not embraced my Son. See, so that's why when I said, yes, we worship the same gods, because of God the Father. See?
Amen. That's
so
right.
They just don't have a relationship with the Father, because now it's through the Son.
Right. So that's, exactly. New Testament. And thank you. And because we could parse this down for unnecessarily. So I'm going to turn it back
sure.
over to John.
We have some callers already lined up. So if you're ready, Pastor, we'll start taking some calls.
Sure, we'll do the best we can.
All right, we're going to go first to Robin in Oklahoma. Robin, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. You're live with Pastor Langford.
Well, hello. How are you?
Thank Very
you
well.
Much for taking my call. And thank you so much for taking my call. My concern is this. I would like to know on your point of view about putting on the full armor of God as a Christian, and in the days and age that we're facing right now, do you have some spiritual warfare for the believers and tactics that we could use? Because there's a lot of things going on in Oklahoma, as you will know with what the first guest was talking about, and it's with the organization that's in all 50 states, and that's CARE, Muslim Association. And it's just like they're taking over this whole state. And I don't have any hatred against anybody, but I want to know, in the spiritual warfare prayer time, I'm going to pray against a lot of this stuff that's going on, because these people are very, very, very busy people, and I'm not around them. I pray that they get saved, but the point is, there's things going on in my state, and I want, as a Christian woman, to learn the warfare proper warrior prayers, and is it biblical that I can pray against some things that I do see that's going on in private? And I'm going to do that fast. You know, I was listening and I took some notes as well. So that's my question. I mean, I'm just concerned about, you know,
the spiritual armor of
everywhere.
God. Robin, yeah, the putting on the spiritual armor.
Yeah, just something. I mean, is it wrong? It's not, I don't feel it's wrong for me to pray against some of the evil events that are happening here in my state with banks. And
it's not wrong. You know. You need to pray against that. 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. I pray against the evil. I fast against the evil. I plead the blood against the evil. I walk. Henry Gruber's a renowned prayer walker. He walks areas and prays against opposition. And so as children of God, Ephesians 6, you put on the whole armor of God. Don't go out there and battle and be ill-equipped. That's why you fast and pray, that you will have power over these entities. But I think a lot of people fell on their faces and prostrated themselves before God in behalf of America and this nation and this election. We were at the crossroads. This was the zenith of warfare. I could not pull this down. You could not pull this down. Only God could pull down the coronation of Jezebel, and he did. How long this will last, I do not know. I think as long as we keep fasting and praying, covering Donald Trump in the blood of Jesus Christ, praying for his protection, that this can be held back. And we know, according to Daniel chapter 10, the demon or the prince of Persia, these powers are trying to control the world. And that's why you can't run out here with a ball bat or a 2x4 and fight a demonic entity or a fallen angel. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. But I do believe we pray against that. We witness against that. We preach against that, because the Word of God is a two-edged sword. So, yes, pray against it. Plead the blood of Jesus against it. And fast. And direct your... E.M. Bounds made a very powerful statement one time. He said, where prayer is focused is where the power of God will fall. So if you'll target your prayers and be specific, God can begin to bring those things down. And I believe he's going to bring some things down in behalf of his church. So put on the whole armor of God, plead the blood, and pray against that opposition.
Robin, thank you for your call and your question. You have a great evening. Up next, we're going to move on to Jen in Pennsylvania. Jen, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug, Joe, and Pastor Langford. I'm calling specifically because, where to start? Backslidden, okay, hot mess, whatever. But I've called in to the Hagman Show a couple years ago, and I was in a different place spiritually. Since that time, my nephew has been paralyzed. My stepdad's paralyzed. I have two family members that are paralyzed. I had a double hernia. My family we haven't recovered. And that's basically where we're at. And to say we got worldly, that's it, you know? I mean, I don't know how else to say this, but we didn't survive everything yet. And everything that could come against us has. And I think about this topic. I've been trying to just get back to the place where I need to get with the Lord. I know I can't do it. So, but, that's it. I don't even know where to start, but I know it's about fasting. And I couldn't even get through an hour of fasting today. I was like, I can't even make it an hour, you know? That's where I'm at. But
Jen, I'll just kind of cut to the chase with Pastor for you. Pastor, Jen's been through a lot, okay? Just seen a lot of tragedy, a lot of bumps, a lot of just a whole ton of crud dropped in her lap over the last 2 years.
Well, the question would have to be, is it self-inflicted or is it spiritual warfare? Psalm 66:18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I pray. You know, we can't have it both ways. We can't work both sides of the street. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So, you know, all I can say to her is, have you backslidden to the degree that you've given Satan a place in your life? Ephesians 4:26 said, neither give place to the devil. You know, when we sin, we make a choice to either yield to that temptation or not yield to that temptation. once we yield to that temptation, we have given Satan place. We've given him ground. We've given him territory. We've given him a right to come into our lives. Now, is it pure trial, tribulation, persecution? That's another phase. Job went through that unknowingly because of Satan. Satan's objective was to cause or try to cause Job to curse God to his face. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Romans 8:18, Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So is it self-inflicted, or is it a real bona fide trial of the enemy? You know, you'll have to make that determination. As I said, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I pray. You know, we can't serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You know, so we have to make that determination. When I came back to the Lord in 1978, I was determined. I was determined to live a life of victory. No one had lived in any more greater depth of sin than myself. As a backslidden young man called to be a preacher from the age of 12. But I was determined that I would not let anything, and it was difficult. I would be a liar if I said it was easy. It was hard. It took, I practiced celibacy. I mean, it was hard. But I knew if I wanted what I needed from God, I couldn't play games. I had to sell out, and I did. That's why I said, nobody ever mentioned one word to me about fasting. But something inside of me told me, if you want to overcome, if you want the kind of victory that you need as a single man, you need to fast and pray. And I did. My first fast, I was still working a secular job, full-time job, and I fasted 7 days and worked every day. But I was determined to have victory in my life. And, David said in Psalms 119:133, order my steps in thy word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. That word dominion there in the Hebrew means lordship or authority. And I can honestly say, nothing has ever had lordship or authority over my life. Have I missed the mark? Have I sinned? Have I slipped? Yes. I've never gone back into open sin. Have I missed the mark? Yes. But because I've prayed that prayer, let no iniquity have dominion over me. God has never suffered anything in this present world to have authority over my life, nearly 40 years now, because I made up my mind I wanted to live a life of victory. I don't believe in sinless perfection in our humanity, but I believe you can live days without sinning. Now, I know people don't believe that, but I can't tell you when the last time I know that I have done something wrong. I know people, they have disdain and contempt for me. They said, one man said that to me and the conference in Texas a year ago this coming March. He said, I don't believe you. I don't care whether he believes me or not. You don't have to sin. We're all confronted with it, but then you can say yes or no. And I've learned to say no, and the more I say no, the more powerful I become over mine enemy. The more I say no, the stronger I become. It's not me, but it's allowing God to become bigger in me. That's the issue. That's why David said, let God arise. Psalm 68:1. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. God's already risen. He's on his throne. That's God arising in you. Let God arise in you and the enemies be scattered. You know, the seven sons of Sceva, when the unsaved man tried to cast them out, they said, the demon said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? So the demons recognized the authority that Paul had, the authority that Jesus had, the authority that we as believers have. But if you're not living right, those demons will mock you and mimic you and make fun of you because you don't have power over them. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But you can't have that power with sin in your life. The two just cannot reside together. I've said this, we'll move on to the next caller, but anything at its greatest strength is in its purest form. You take Clorox, you pour it out of the jug on the blue jeans, it'll turn them white, eat a hole in it. But you dilute it so you can use it for other things. But in its purest strength, it's powerful. And so when your heart is pure, the purer your heart is, the more power of the Holy Ghost that can work through you against opposition. And I've seen it. I've walked it. I've lived it. I've seen the power of God fall. I've seen the power of God move things, heal people. But you got to be living right. Because as I said, the devil will mock you in a heartbeat if he knows you're not living right and you try to do something in Jesus' name. I've known that to happen to men. They were not living right, and they were in opposition against the enemy, and he mocked them. You know, one preacher, this is a true story, the devil said, "You can't cast me out. You're committing adultery." Demons are known as familiar spirits. They know what's going on in a man's life. So when you go to do something, you better make sure there's not something in your life that he can bring up and accuse you. Because remember, he is the accuser of the brethren. And he knows when you're living right, and he knows when you're not living right, just like God does. And he fears those who live right because he knows they have power over him. And that's the key. So I don't know whether you've drifted away from God, or it's just the fact that God is allowing you to go through a time of trial and of testing and of tribulation or adversity. Adversity makes us strong. It builds our faith. It makes us trust God and believe God even greater for the next trial or tribulation or element that may come against us. So you'll have to determine that, Jen, in your own heart. What is this stemming from?
And, Jen, thanks for the call. You hang in there, and have a great evening. Up next, we have Kathy in Texas. Kathy, thank you for calling. You're live with Pastor Langford.
Thanks, Pastor Langford. I would like for you to explain, you know, the false teachings in the church. A lot of them believe that the tribulation will be 7 years rather than 3.5 years, which is 42 months, which the Bible explains, and that they will actually have to go through the tribulation because the Bible says, when you see the Antichrist sitting in the temple claiming to be God, and also if you would explain who the restrainer is. A lot of people think that's the Holy Spirit.
Okay, a very lengthy question there. The Great Tribulation period is only 42 months, 1,260 days, or time, times, and the dividing of times. Daniel 7:25, talking about the Antichrist, he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, that's 1 year, times is 2 years, and the dividing of time is half a year, so that's 3.5 years. They get the 7 year scenario from Daniel 9:27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That verse does not mention the rapture. It doesn't mention the Great Tribulation. It doesn't mention anything. It talks about a covenant. The Antichrist does not make a covenant with Israel. I get so tired of hearing that. All pre-tribbers will tell you the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel. That's not what the Bible says. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And now we've got the... I didn't learn this till about 2 or 3 years ago. They're saying that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Well, the reason we know they're wrong is because in Daniel 9, the same chapter, verse 25, you see the word prince is in capital letters. In Daniel 9:26, the word prince is in small letters. You got the prince of the power of the air, and you got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the prince, and that's the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So those who are now are saying that the prince there is Jesus is absolutely wrong, because one in verse 26 is a small p, the one in 25 is a big P. Those are two separate entities. One is Jesus Christ, the other is the Antichrist. And the third part of the question was, who was the restrainer? The restrainer is Michael the Archangel. I find it very amusing. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. People can get mad if they want to, but I heard Jimmy Swagger preach a message years ago. It was a great message. He preached Isaac as God the Father. He preached, Abraham was God the Father. Isaac was the Son. Eliezer was the Holy Ghost. And Rebekah was the church. Let me go through that again. Abraham was God the Father. Isaac was God the Son. Eliezer was going to find Isaac a wife, was the Holy Ghost, and Rebekah was the bride. But then I heard him also take 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He says the he there is the church. Well, you can't preach both messages and be doctrinally correct. Because he's saying Rebekah is a woman, but the he here is a church. If the church is a bride and the he here is the church, we really got mass doctrinal confusion. You just can't have it both ways, folks. That's because these men, though they have large, huge platforms, they still do not understand the Bible. The he there is none other than Michael the Archangel, Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Michael's the prince of Israel. 2 Thessalonians 2:6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who revealed? The Antichrist in his time. How much time does he have? 3.5 years. So when Gabriel said to Daniel in Daniel 10:21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, there's none that holds with me in these things but Michael your prince. Gabriel prophesied 2 Thessalonians 2:6 about 800 years or so before this was even penned. 700-800 years, I don't know exactly. I'll have to go back and look at my chronology there. But he penned who the one that would withhold would be Michael. And what happens, Michael is holding the Antichrist back. Once Michael is taken out of the way, that would be Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, talking about Israel, for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, relative to the book of life. So it says at that time Michael shall stand up. The Hebrew says he shall mount up, or he shall ascend up. Where does he go? He goes into the heavenlies. Revelation 12:7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So once Michael leaves, this opens the door for the Antichrist to come on the scene, and then he goes into the heavens and he starts war with Lucifer, Satan, and his angels. And of course, victory begins at the throne room of God. Another misnomer. If the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and the church is already in heaven, why in Revelation 12:10 is he still accusing us? Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So Satan is cast out of heaven. He no longer has access to heaven. He'll be cast out to the earth. Thus, Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That is, the great tribulation is the wrath of Satan. It is a short time. It's 42 months. It's 1260 days, or time, times, and half a time, or the dividing of time. So there's your chronology. The great tribulation is one event. The wrath of God is distinctly a separate event, because in Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. We're not appointed unto that, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So the wrath of God is going to be vented on the evil, wicked people left on the earth during that judgment period, but we are not appointed to that. So that's a very quick synopsis of the chronology of how that will happen.
Wow, a lot of information there. Pastor, we got about 3 minutes left. We got one more call.
Okay.
Lon, we got to do this real quick. Welcome to the Hagman Hagman Report. Go ahead for Pastor Langford.
Hey, Doug and Joe and Pastor Langford.
Yes, sir.
About an hour ago, I was listening to what I consider one of the top four alternative news sites, and the host on that program came out and said that in 1948, Israel never became a state or never became a country, and his reasons were that back then it was the Rothschilds who are evil guys and enemies of God. So I need to hear what you have to say on that.
And Lauren, if I can ask you,
just
a distinction, was it a issue of whether God appointed the nation of Israel this time around or man? Or was it about...
That it was man.
Okay.
It's both, God and man. God used man. Harry Truman recognized Israel 5 minutes after they raised the star of the flag of David. He sent a telegram and recognized Israel as a statehood. Got to remember, when God works in the earth, in the natural, he works through kings and governors and pharaohs and Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Cyrus and Darius. He works through all of these governments. So it's both God and man. And so they became a nation May the 14th, 1948. And have been one since then. And as I said, it's half God, it's half man, because the Bible says that a nation would be born in a day, and they were born and recognized as a nation in one day. So, yeah. Now, we get into all this all the time, no time's gone, whether they are the true Jews of God or they're not the true Jews of God. Same way with the church. You got the wheat, you got the tares. God will meet that out and judge that and winnow it at his second coming. So I don't know who's the Jews of God, and I don't know who's the seed of Ishmael in Israel. Those are two seeds. Abraham regretfully fathered both of them. But God does use men to accomplish his will. Proverbs 21:1, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Pharaoh, God made him house, clothe, and feed Israel for over 400 years, and made him raise up a nation on their dime. And then when God got ready to deliver them, he said, now give them the gold, the silver, and the fine linen. So God uses both himself and men to accomplish his will.
Wow. Pastor Langford, that worked out perfectly.
Fantastic.
Dude. The calls took us right to the end of the segment. And folks, if you do have a question for Pastor Langford, Pastor David Langford at HagmanandHagman.com. In the subject line, make sure you put Hagman questions, and he will address as many of those as possible on the last Wednesday of every month.
Yep.
And
I think we just heard 6 months of sermons in 60 minutes. I really do.
Well, you know, people have great questions. People that study their Bible are intriguing, because as they ponder the scriptures, the words of God, their spirit is stirred by the word of God, and they begin to look deeper, because the Holy Spirit drives them to look into the depth and the breadth of God's Word. Enjoyed it tonight, fellows. Thank you for allowing
me
to be here and to share what little bit of knowledge I have with the people of God.
Well, thanks for doing so, Pastor Langford. You have a great week.
Thank you both. God bless you, and bless the audience as well. Good night.
That'll do it for us tonight, folks. God bless, stay safe, and saddle for battle.